Howdy.
Howdy.
Grateful to see you. Best group Jesus has ever seen. And it's so nice to know that he really feels like that. This scripture, many years ago, when I would ever teach scriptures like this and didn't really understand much about healing before my journey into the wild and wacky world of being a charismatic, and that you would usually use that metaphors, like, you could talk about the scripture as one of the proofs that Jesus was Messiah, but usually you would metaphor, say, it represents this. This is really true, happened, but this means something to us. But the truth is that this man was actually healed physically. But in this particular chapter, and again, for those of you who are CTKers, you're going to get to hear this again Sunday, this particular one, I think. Because I think it's important. Well, they're all important, but if they're a word from the Lord. After Jesus heals this man, he slips away. And so that when the Pharisees come to the guy, because they're not mad at him that he got healed. People get confused. They think they're upset because he was healed on the Sabbath. They were upset because he was carrying a pallet, the most important thing in the world. I get so tickled at Christians who... Somebody was talking to me about something the other day, some issue that was like irrelevant to, and I mean, it wasn't irrelevant. It had slight significance in terms of life. But in light of the fact that there were people dying in that moment somewhere in the world and they were going to hell, it was relatively irrelevant. But it seemed like the biggest issue in the world to them. And that's what Christians do. They swallow gnats. They strain gnats and swallow camels. But Jesus just disappears in the crowd. So that when the Pharisees come to the guy to confront him about what is he doing carrying a pallet, which was against the rules on Sabbath, it was the 39th rule, the 39 rules that you can't do on Sabbath, and that is carry things around. And they said, the man who healed me told me to pick up my pallet. And again, the conversation is not even about healing. That's not their issue. There's a bigger issue here. He's carrying the pallet. And He said, well, who is this guy? And he said, well, I don't know. I never got his name. He slipped away in the crowd. And, but it says in verse 14 afterwards, when Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, behold, you have become well. Now, this is interesting. He says, do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you. Now, there are some people, charismatic legalists will say, therefore, every sickness is about sin. That's not true. Doesn't indicate that in scripture. But for this guy, his sickness was connected to sin. Or Jesus wouldn't have said that. Jesus wouldn't have said, well, go and sin no more, or something worse will befall you. And so we don't know how old the guy was, but for 38 years, something was bad wrong with him. What was it? Could it be bitterness? We know that there are places that where people who have severe bitterness can cause severe arthritis in their body where it can cripple them. That can happen. I don't know what it was. Interesting thing, though, to me, it says that Jesus comes into Jerusalem because he says the Jews were having a festival. And Jesus comes into the city, but he comes to the sheep gate. And the sheep gate was not where people normally came to or through, just to pass through, because that's where the sacrificial sheep would come, get examined, and the pool of Bethesda was the two giant pools, like larger than swimming pools. And one of them was used at least to wash the sheep, make sure they were clean. But also, there were five porches around it that had covers, like little porches. And it said there was a multitude of people there waiting to get healed. Because it's not just a legend. What happened was is that that an angel, it says, on occasional seasons, would show up in the water, stir the water, and the first one into the water would get healed. And which is a fascinating thing too. Like, why would God make that so, like, that's a weird thing. But we'll talk about that, I'm sure, at some point. But for this man, Jesus looked at him, and this is what Jesus says about him. So again, bear with me, because we're going to probably do this again Sunday, because I think it's relevant to what some things I've been saying to us. It's interesting, I shared something last week, and I saw someone here. And I saw the look on their face like a calf looking at a new gate. And I knew that they knew something was being said that was relevant, but they couldn't really get it. But on Sunday, when I signed and said the same thing, because it was one of the words I shared here, I was going to say again, at some point their hand flew up in the air like in praise, and I knew they were getting it. So that's one of the reasons that we do these things. We take them out for a spin during the week and sometimes do them. It says, in these porticos lay a multitude of those who are sick, blind, and withered. And then it adds, and like the King James Version, waiting for the moving of the water. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" It reminds me a lot of the woman at the well. Remember when Jesus read her mail and her response was, when she went back and told the people in Sychar, the response was, "I just met a man who told me everything I've ever done." But he didn't condemn her. Didn't even tell her she needed to tell and say she was sorry. He just offered her wholeness. Now the word well here, the word sozo is the word that saved, could also mean healed or made whole. But there's another word that means to be whole or to be sound. There's one place, the same word, not sozo, this is in the word sozo, where, like in Timothy says, and they had sound speech. And so this is the word sound. And Jesus said, "Do you wish to be made sound?" Now for him, in terms of the physical healing part, we know that that was at least involved that, you know. But I want to speak a little bit metaphorically. We'll talk more about the healing thing tomorrow and then why there were other people there who didn't get healed. I mean, Jesus healed every person he ever prayed for, right? But there were people around him who were sick he didn't pray for. What's that all about? But that's an interesting question to ask the guy. And I don't think Jesus was being sarcastic. I think he was being sympathetic. "Do you wish to be healed?" And the man goes, "Well, yes, I do. But I've been here for 38 years, basically." Evidently, other people who were there who were sick, and there was a multitude of people that were sick, there was somebody always with them, the ones who were crippled. And whenever the waters got stirred, that helped them get in the water. But this man, evidently friends or family, dropped him off, went to work, and then picked him up later in the day. And so he said whenever he would try to get to the water, somebody would always step in. Now, can you imagine the built-up frustration with that? Maybe resentment, anger? I don't know what that was all about, what was going on inside of him. And Jesus then just looked at him and says, "Well, take up your pallet and walk." And he was healed. So the interesting thing for me about this story is that Jesus went out of his way, like he did with the woman at the well, went to a place of not a place you wouldn't go hang out, like where the sheep go and where the sheep get bathed, and then all these sick people, invalids, crippled, you know, I mean, the language that he uses here to describe Holy Spirit, those who are sick, those who are blind, those who are lame, and those who are withered. Those are not folks with headaches. It's like bigger issues. And yet Jesus is just there in the crowd. But there's a certain man that Jesus goes and talks to. So here's the thing I would say is that I know that there are crowds of people around us, and Jesus is in our midst. He lives in us. He's in our midst. And all of them have some kind of issues and conditions that they're being set free from. So let's just not think in terms of physical sickness. But there's a lack of soundness. That's part of the growth, being healed, being made whole process. Every time I repent, I become more sound. Every time I decide I'm not going to be a complainer, I get more sound. Or I'm not going to do this. I'm going to join him in not living that life. I'm not going to do stuff to draw attention to myself so I can get my security needs met, self-worth needs met, because I don't have to do that, you know? That I get more sound. But what can happen is that we can be around, hear this stuff, and go, "Yeah, man, I want to be sound. You know, I want to be whole. I want to know glorious liberty. Yeah. And love the words and all that stuff." And yet Jesus begins to speak to you about, well, do you want to get sound? You know, and later on he says to him, here's the deal. You got to stop the sinning lest something worse befalls you. Oh, so his lack of soundness had something to do with his sin. And so when Jesus comes to us in the crowd, but he starts speaking to us, you know, sometimes people in the congregation will get offended, like the pastor was saying something to them, like he had somehow knew something, was picking on them. You know, I'll always love the old story that when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the ones that yelps, the ones you hit. But the point is that what we how often can do is like, well, what about the crowd? I know that I'm a complainer, but what about the crowd? They all got issues too. And Jesus is saying, I understand that, but I'm talking to you. Because I love you. And I want you to be sound, but I want to know if you want to be sound. You hear me? Because I think that's why it's so important that we're at that place where we said we wanted all, we wanted to grow into Christ-likeness. We wanted to explore this whole large room called being in Christ. Well, we got to stop looking at the crowd and let the Lord just, we be that certain person that Jesus is talking to going, do you want to get sound? Well, yeah. He says, well, okay, I want you to know what it feels like, but if you want to keep walking this out, if you want to know what it is to be sound, are you willing to lay down the sin of staying offended or being resentful or gossiping or criticizing? Oh, I'm not criticizing. I'm just giving my opinion, trying to be helpful. As long as making excuses, well, other people, it's not about you. Jesus was standing in the crowd, but he was talking to you because he wants you to be sound. He wasn't there to rebuke the man. You know, he didn't ask the man, tell me how sorry you are. But obviously, his condition was a result of sin. And I can tell you this, though, every physical condition is not a result of sin, right? But every emotional yucky stuff on the inside is a result of sin. Every one of them. Fear is sin. Anger is sin. Bitterness is sin. Self-pity is sin. All that jazz. Anxiety is because of sin. It is. And Jesus wants to know, do you want to be sound? And if the answer is yes, then the next question is, okay, then you need to let go of that and join me in not living that life. Join me in not being fearful. You know, live by me in this because I don't do that. Or the situation is just going to get worse and it's nobody's fault. It's not because they were insensitive to you, not because they didn't say it right. Your self-pity and your offense and your anger, that's the thing that's killing you. That's robbing you of your soundness, not the crowd. Amen? So you get a preview word and you get a head start on all those rascals that only come on Sundays. No, they have to work and do stuff. I'm just saying that pray into this. If I think this is a word I'm supposed to speak Sunday, I think it's the next step word. And we'll talk more about the physical healing part as we go through here, but I just really spoke to my heart, you know? And I think I shared this on Sunday, but it was interesting that when I went to go play some golf on Saturday, because I don't get any better if I don't play, and it's good exercise for my legs. My legs are so good, doing so good. And this little wave of depression came, and I didn't know, which is unusual for me, and I didn't know if it was because of my golf game was, you should be depressed over my golf game, or all that I had experienced in Tulsa was just a sad situation, or it was just the week. You know, that was the day of Jimmy's funeral. The day before was when I found out about Olivia, we found out she was dying. But I said, oh, Lord, this isn't fun. And I heard the Lord say, he said, my joy is your strength, and I don't do depression. Now, I know that sounds radical. We've been so anesthetized by the world and psychology, human psychology. Well, of course you're supposed to be. No, Jesus doesn't do that. And what he was saying to me, I'm inviting you to say yes to my joy being your strength. And the moment I did, I became sound. I stopped. All that depression went away in a moment. You know, I could have said, well, Lord, this is understandable, but now I've had such a tough week. And Christians will tell you that. Oh, isn't this understandable? Of course you are. You should be. Really? Thank you a lot. It's nice for you to confirm my lack of soundness. And the Lord wants us to be free. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.